Bible gives us lots of evidence that God guides people and promises to guide me. His hand reaches out. He says to me, "Take it. Take my hand."
Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about somebody who's been over the trail. Our topic is the guidance of God, and in our last talk, I gave you some promises that God has given us for guidance. Most of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and it is the shepherd's job to get the sheep where the sheep ought to be. It's a tremendous comfort to me to remember that God is far more interested in getting me where He wants me to be and where I ought to be than I am in getting there. So when I think that somehow God is making it tough for me to figure out what He wants me to do, I realize the absurdity of that because the shepherd loves me and it is His desire to lead me in a plain path, in paths of righteousness, not for Elizabeth Elliot's namesake, but for His name's sake. And He has been over the trail. I mentioned in my last talk two men that I met in Quito, Ecuador, who were on their way to explore the eastern jungle. And they had maps, and they had a whole lot of equipment, some of which was not going to do them much good at all. They didn't know the language. They didn't really know much about where they were going. And what they needed more than anything else in the world, they hadn't even thought of, and that was a guide. I had a very sad experience, which I've told about in a book called These Strange Ashes, in which I and another young missionary, a woman named Barbara, got ourselves rather badly lost in the jungle because we had simply gone out having followed what we thought were fairly clear directions given to us by some Indians, but we didn't have a guide. And that was the first and last time that I ever went into an area of the jungle that I'd never been in before without somebody who had been over the trail. I told in that book how these jungle trails go through streams and rivers and across log bridges. And to me, that was by far the worst thing, when suddenly you would be confronted with a log cast across a ravine. And the Indians would just say casually, "Just walk across, senorita," or senora, as the case might be. I was a senorita when I first went to the jungle, and I ended up a senora. And that was what they called me. "Just walk across," they'd say. "Come on." Well, I couldn't do it. They were barefoot, very confident. They almost skipped across. I'd look down into that ravine. I was sure I'd slip. The log looked very greasy. I wasn't any good at balancing. And so what I needed was just the touch of a hand. Not even a firm grip was necessary. If an Indian would walk across in front of me and reach back his hand so that I could just touch it, it gave me the confidence that I needed to walk across that log. I knew very well that if I slipped, he wouldn't be able to rescue me. But it was a matter of trust. And that's a little bit like the way we walk with God. But of course, like all analogies, it breaks down because we know that if we slip, God can catch us and keep us from falling into that deep ravine. But believe me, when I was in the middle of the log, I was not looking down at the roaring, rushing river below me, and I was not arguing in the middle of the bridge with my guide. I trusted him. He knew the way. All I wanted to do was get across where he wanted to take me. My trust would certainly have collapsed, and so would I, if I had stopped in the middle and had an argument. The Bible gives us lots of evidence that God guides people and promises to guide me. His hand reaches out. He says to me, "Take it. Take my hand." You know that old song that says, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand." But there are some conditions to getting the guidance of God. How does one take that hand? Is it just an extreme oversimplification to say, well, all you have to do is follow, all you have to do is take his hand? In Deuteronomy 31:8, one of my favorite verses, it says, "The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Most of us are subject to fear and dismay. We're not spiritual giants. You and I are pilgrims struggling up a very steep hill with a very crooked stick. Can we qualify, can we ordinary folks qualify for the guidance of God? Well, let me help you to see some of the conditions. The first thing, I think, should be a recognition of who God is. In my last talk, I told you about the migration of birds, and just the contemplation of one of those marvelous mysteries of nature that the most intelligent ornithologists, with the most modern instruments for studying the migration of birds, have not yet been able to explain. It's the God who guides those birds who also can guide you and me. He's the one who made the world. It's not a question of who does God think I am, but who do I think God is? If you're ever tempted to think, oh, well, God wouldn't be interested in poor little me, you know, I'm just an ordinary person, I'm not one of those spiritual giants. That's not the point. It's who do you think he is? Don't worry about who you are or why your case is special or what you want. The thing that matters more than anything else is to whom you come. And my Bible tells me story after story after story of how God met ordinary individuals. The whole Bible is a story about God and his relationship to people. It begins with his relation to one man, Adam, with whom he walked in the cool of the day in a garden. Then we have the story of Abraham, the story of his guidance of Israel, the clear commandments that he gave to Israel, the pillar of fire, a supernatural method of guidance, which sometimes I've wished very much I had, and how he led his people like a flock. In the New Testament, we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, telling four versions of the life of Jesus. But again, we have the revelation of who God is in the life of Jesus. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And if you study those books, you find a personality revealed in his ordinary everyday contacts with ordinary everyday people. It's the same God. The Old Testament people had no scriptures at all. The New Testament people had only the Old Testament. But you and I have both. We have lots of proof that God really does want to guide us. We have lots of indications of who he is. We can't learn it all at once. We come to him as we are, ready to be shown. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we have what has been called the gallery of heroes of the faith, people who knew God, people who wanted to walk with him. Verse 6 of that 11th chapter of Hebrews says, "It is the testimony of Scripture that before Enoch was taken, he had pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who search him. By faith, Noah, divinely warned about the unseen future, took good heed and built an ark to save his household." And the chapter goes on with story after story of those who walked with God by faith. You and I can become his children by faith. It begins with a simple acknowledgement that we need help. The Lord Jesus Christ is there to help us. And when the Philippian jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul's answer was very simple. It wasn't a complicated theological answer. It was these words, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's God Himself who calls us through His Son, Jesus. It's God Himself who sent His Son, not to condemn us, but that we might be saved, to show us the way. He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Moses, when he was tending a flock in the wilderness, heard the voice of God, "I am the God of your fathers." The Apostle Paul was stopped in his tracks when he was on his way to Damascus, and he heard a voice that said, "I am Jesus." And John, when he was in exile on the island of Patmos, was given a vision of one like the Son of Man who said to him, "I am the first and the last. I am alive." First the "I am," and then "do this." Before Moses was given his commission to release the people of Israel, he was given the vision of God. And if you and I are going to walk in His pathway, we have to get to know the shepherd. We have to simply come to Him first and say, "Lord, help me. I surrender myself to You. I'll go where You tell me. I'll do what You want me to do." The guidance of God is not a deep mystery that's beyond us, but it is available.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.